So you guys thought this podcast was over. The details of my demise have been greatly exaggerated. This is Counselor's Connection. I'm your host, Fabian Bix. And on this new episode, we're going to talk about where I've been. We're going to talk about what I've been doing. We're going to talk about the future of the show. Also, we're going to talk about a subject that really should have been done at the beginning of the year, especially if you're an elementary counselor or maybe even middle school. We're going to talk about reporting versus snitching. I did this lesson in my internship at an elementary school, and we did it with some second graders. And we're going to talk about some going to details. What does that look like, especially on the middle school level of reporting versus snitching, and how this can be mapped out when you do elementary versus middle versus high school. Of course, my housekeeping items and my final thoughts on my why as a school counselor, something I've never done on my 4 years as a podcast. Of course, this is part of the show. I said, let's go.
Like it's common sense. Got a monkey on my feet like it's common sense. Got gorillas in the streets like it's common sense. Stack the money heads up like it's second nature. Got a stay pulled up like it's second nature. Keep a chip in my hair like it's second nature. Big wind that make me stare like second nature.
So y'all probably saying, man, where has this guy been for the last month and a half since the last podcast he had? Where have you been? Last podcast episode you did was on inappropriate activities for counselors. Yeah, so I took me a break. Nothing wrong with taking a break every now and then. I told you I've gone to a format of probably one episode per month, which I really need to rethink, possibly. This year has been a little bit lighter because this year has been a lot different in the last few years for me career-wise as far as my time and stuff. Some of you know I also do a sports podcast. We do a show twice a week on Sundays and Wednesdays. That takes up some time. This is my baby right here, my school counselor podcast. I love doing it. It's just I've let it slip, and that's my fault, and I apologize to you guys for letting my podcast slip. It's something that new counselors should be looking at, or older counselors or counselors that's just trying to find their way. And that was the goal of my podcast, to air something twice a week and make sure that we get things that are needed to those that need them. And I apologize for that. And I'm going to make sure I'm a pledge that I'm going to do better as far as getting those things out there. And there's no excuses. Been doing this podcast will be going on 4 years. Wow. Or 5 years, because this when we come back in summer or fall, it'll be the fifth season. So it's amazing how long we've done this and the support we've garnered and gotten received from people. I met some folks at conference saying, hey, we keep doing what you're doing. We love the podcast, and I appreciate the love that you're showing. But I will make sure I will do my best to have more episodes available and more content, which goes to you guys that are listening. Please reach out and let me know what episodes, what topics do you want us to cover? Because it's a great thing to have feedback from you guys to make sure that we are our best version of ourselves. And we want to make sure that you guys are giving us those ideals and those thoughts. And I want to make sure, as far as doing this show, that I'm being held to that standard for you all. And I want to thank you for that. Now, what I've been doing the last month and a half, I ain't been doing nothing. I'm going to work, doing my sports podcast, you know, doing an episode a month. I think that's the best rhythm I have right now, as far as doing an episode a month for right now. I love doing two episodes a month. and especially with interviews, because the interviews, I could just come up with, do the interview first, then come up with the content for the episode. And I like it. I like the monthly episode. I just need to make sure I got a better time frame of when I release the episode. It needs to be more, a little bit more consistent, so you can know when to expect it. But as far as doing an episode, doing more than one episode a month right now, I just don't see that at the foreseeable future right now. But I will do my best to make sure I will get content once I learn it and receive it and use it and analyze it. Those areas will be great for you guys to make sure that you're following. And I appreciate you all for actually listening. But back to what I've been doing for the last month and a half. I've been working hard. That's my daughter's texting me, so I forgot to turn that off. Anyway, what I've been doing for the last month, I have not done anything major. I've been self-care. I've continued to not to bring home work. I continue not to bring home my laptop. I've continued to not. Only time I bring my laptop home is if I got a meeting in the morning at another location. That's the only time I bring my laptop home. Spring break, I bring home just in case all the computers are tied up in the house. I thought I was had to go somewhere for my daughter taking a test. Didn't have to go, so my laptop stays in the bag. But other than that, I've been, of course, I know I do my sports podcast twice a week. Spring cleaning. Some of you do know I play saxophone. I went to a open mic session in Atlanta. We had a place called The Handlebar, ATL. Very nice vibe there. Thursday nights, they do open mic. True straight ahead jazz or, you know, bebop. Nothing R&B, nothing like that. If do R&B, they probably have to change the vibe on it like they did with me for one song. Because I was only intending to go do one song, maybe two. But ended up doing three songs that night because, you know, they have a lot of vocals there. But, you know, you have horns that you want to hear the horns. And I think they did pretty decently. They didn't have uploaded any videos there on the Instagram and the TikTok page. But I might share that footage from my from a Facebook page. But playing music is my safe space. It's my release. It's my self-care. I've also created a TikTok page for creating content for music, you know, doing small little covers for music. So Fabe on Sax is my handle for TikTok if you like to check out some of those videos. Still getting used to doing TikTok content creation, trying to come up with different ideas and that type of stuff. Might actually go outside and record some stuff maybe, but just trying to be a little different. That's my self-care and what I've been doing, especially with TikTok for the last 5 months. I'm getting used to that, creating content when I can. I know being a content creator, you gotta be consistent with your creation, if it's every day, twice a day, weekends, how long the reel is going to be, you know, make sure it's catchy, make sure it's not too long, you will lose your audience, anything like that. But just want to make sure that find something that we like to do and do it, and make sure we take care of ourselves with it, so that way we use that as a safe space for ourselves. That's enough about what I've been doing for the last month and a half. Of course, some schools are about to go into testing. I'm not going to do an episode about testing yet. Things we should be doing as educators and parents and whoever to get our kids ready for testing. I might do that next week, a bonus episode, but we'll see how I feel. If not, it is what it is. But we'll be right back on this topic, snitching versus reporting, because this one's close to my heart. So I want to make sure that you guys are well explained to get it, well versed and ready to receive what we're going to talk about with snitching and reporting. We'll be right back. So, you've been a counselor for however many years and whatever level you're on. One of the most difficult things to have students do is talk to you openly and freely. Especially if you're middle and high school students are either intimidated to report or scared to report because they do not want to get this stigma of being a snitch. But if we start in elementary school at our elementary levels, if we discuss what is snitching and what is reporting, giving a defined definition of what that is, can help kids become more free to discuss what's up. If there's an actual problem, you could discern if somebody's just trying to get somebody in trouble or somebody's trying to help somebody. Now, you're going to have some kids that seems like they want to help, but sometimes it just seems like they're snitching and complaining or whatever. So I'm going to give a basic definition of snitching and reporting. The elementary is tattling. So snitching or tattling, telling on somebody to get that person in trouble, reporting, telling the trusted adult to get help. Now we go in depth if you go into the secondary levels of school as far as snitching and reporting. As far as middle and high school, snitching, you're looking at it as trying to get somebody in trouble, looking for attention, and you it's done because you want to get your own way or you want to do damage to somebody that you do not like. Reporting, of course, is telling authority about a situation that is dangerous. Any situation like bullying, fighting, somebody's being abused or molested, somebody wants to harm themselves, looking out for your safety if something about you or your peers, or speaking up because something's really wrong and you don't want nobody to get in trouble. Those are the differences with snitching and reporting. Okay, that's easier said than done. How do we make sure that we have an open environment of free speech and free will for our students to come to us? This can be two-folded in so many ways that it's layered and it has to be unpacked in different aspects of being able to be a area of safe space for counselors. Now, there's a dedicated page or hashtags of TikTok where counselors are reels of counselors saying, "Hey, come on, baby, talk to me. What you know? What you say here stays in here. So, what's going on?" And they say, blah, 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 blah. "Okay, I got you. Okay, okay. Well, let me get your pass. Let me get you back to class. Okay." Next thing you know, they're showing the counselor straight on the phone with that parent. Or, you know, Johnny trying to harm himself, and they harmed himself last night or whatever. And that's not the full story of what we do as counselors, because they're leaving out so many details because those folks are, of course, trying to get likes and build up their content. As we know, as counselors, of course, we do not reveal the contents of our conversation unless that person is trying to hurt themselves, that person is trying to hurt someone else, or we're subpoenaed in court to discuss that. So that's one of the main things those reels are forgetting to talk about. When we're in our sessions with students, especially elementary, they might not have a concept of confidentiality. We have to make sure at the beginning of the year, when we talk to our students, that they know what our job is. It's not to be an administrator. It's not to be on lunch monitoring. It's not to be on hall duty, which goes back to my non-counseling task episode we just did. Because we can't be seen as a counselor, we're being seen as an administrator. So that's the first layer of snitching and reporting. Kids do not want to talk to somebody that they feel like is in a position of power or authority. I'm going to say that again for the people in the back. Kids do not want to talk to anybody that's in a position of power or authority. Say it one more time for the folks way in the back. Kids do not want to talk to counselors if they're seen as a person in a position of power and or authority. Take a couple seconds. There might be an administrator listening. They might be mad at me, but you're using your counselors for lunch duty, hall duty, testing, that type of stuff. And you have students in the building that's trying to kill themselves. How can we serve those students? How can somebody tell us about those students that want to harm themselves? We're too busy on hall duty. Or we're in the lunch, or we're on lunch duty for an hour every day. How can we do that? How can we be what we need to be for our students if we're constantly on duty? We're on hall duty 10, 15 minutes at a time. You have six periods a day. Transition to connections and back from connections, that's 30 minutes. That's one class, and you have five other classes. 15, 15, 15. 15, 15, that's 2 hours. 15, 15, that's an hour, hour and a half. Then another 15, 30, that's 2 hours. Then lunch duty, that's 3 hours. And then if you have afternoon duty and you have morning duty, that's 4 hours. Where's the time for being a counselor for students? Where's time to be doing the things we need to be doing? Now, scheduling is not really a counseling function. Of course, being high school, then, you know, it differentiates because you got to make sure credits are met. Students are in the correct class to make sure they be eligible for sports. So that is a fine line right there. Where is the time for that? I'm not going into non-counseling tasks. I didn't mean to, but I'm just giving you the facts that some counselors are looking at right now. So we need to be in an area or space of confidentiality and a place of trust for students to come talk to us, which goes to number two. Make sure that you are a person that the students can see as a person of trust and availability, which still goes back to make sure we're available for students. Number three, as far as snitching and reporting to those students, if you know anything that is going on with a student and you know it's bad and they tell you not to say anything, chances are you probably need to say something or anything to somebody. I had an incident at a previous school where this student said, "Mr. Vicks, my mom is trying to kill me. She's beating me. I don't know what to do." I said, "For you, one, you're reporting to me. I got to say something because you're my main concern." She kept telling me, no, you can't do that. My mom killed me. Like, well, if I don't report it and she do kill you and I knew about it, I will be in jail. So that's an easy decision for me for what to do. So once I reported to our social worker, she came over immediately. We talked with the student. She did a DFAS report. DFAS picked the case up. That student was removed that night and placed in foster care. I received an email from that student a few months later saying I saved her life. And I am grateful for that because I don't do it for the recognition, which will be a part of my final thought. But we do it to make sure our kids are safe and be the best version of themselves. Last point on snitching and reporting is making sure that if students don't feel comfortable actually coming in person and don't want to be seen, tell them, make sure that you check your email. Make sure kids know what your email is. If you have social media, I would say if kids follow your social media, just make sure it's a school-related social media. Don't let it be your personal social media. There are kids that are trying to follow my TikTok page, and I have to block them. But anyway, make sure that they have a way to communicate with you. If you have a, of course, email, make an appointment, a Dropbox by the counseling office, you check it, you know, daily. If they have a Dropbox in the hallway, have the kids just drop it in there, you just unlock it and check and see. Okay? Nothing wrong with that. But just make sure there's a way for your kids to get to you if there's something wrong. They want to report something that's kind of scary for themselves or somebody else that they care about. Those are my things about snitching and reporting, because it's been on my mind, especially the last few days, for something we're dealing with in our building I can't get into. We'll be right back with my housekeeping. Of course, this is the part of the show where we do some housekeeping items. Of course, you can follow me on the Twitter at FadeThePSC, or you can follow me on Facebook at The Counselor's Connection with Fabian Vix. You can listen to my podcast on Google Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Spotify, as well as Apple Podcasts. There are different ways you can support this podcast besides just listening. If you'd like to become a supporter of The Counselor Connection with Fabian Vix, you are more than welcome to give a small monthly donation to help sustain future episodes. Just go to Anchor. Well, it's changed now to podcasters.spotify.com and / Fabian-Vix. Switch from Anchor to Spotify, podcast from Spotify. So this is a new change, which I didn't realize until a few weeks ago while I've been taking some time off. Of course, you can do 99 cents a month, $4.99 or $9.99 per month as a donation. Whatever you'd like to donate, it'd be more than welcome. Just for you guys listening to the podcast, it is greatly appreciative, and I appreciate you doing that. Of course, we are about at the end of the year for schools, and my people are tired, and we are looking forward to the summer. Some people might be 190, some folks might be 200, some people are 220. I raise my hand, and some people just might be a district personnel, might be 244, 230. And we're still putting in the work for students. Remember, this work is not for a paycheck. This work is not for glorification. This work is not for any type of accolade. This work is making sure that students get all the accolades and we celebrate them at all times. I will go over that in my parting shot with why I do this, my why. I think that's the one thing I never talked about in my 4 years of doing this podcast is my why. But we will get to that in my parting shot. Of course, if you are a counselor that has a great program or doing some great things with your program and you would like to come on the show, hit me up on the message tab, podcasters.spotify.com/pod/show/Fabian-Vix. You can leave a message and talk about the great things you're doing or tell us how we're doing. And if you'd like to come on the show, we'll be more than welcome to have you on the show and talk about what things you're doing at your school, and we can share that with all our other counselors. And of course, I will be right back with my final thought. Babe's final thought. The one thing I never discussed on my podcast through the four seasons I've been here, talk about my dad, talk about my mom, talk about my wife, my kids, everything else. I never talk about why I'm a school counselor. I've never really went into details about that, but this is story time with Uncle Faye. So I was graduated from the Fort Valley State University, got married, started working in retail management, and I had an inkling that I wanted to do something different, like school counseling. So within my first year of working in retail, I just, for kicks and giggles, I applied to Fort Valley's school, a master's program for school counseling. I actually got accepted. Never followed through on it. Because, you know, I was married, family support, both of us were working. I'm like, nah, we need to work, save money, you know, build a life together, that type of stuff. And didn't think nothing of it, because I actually was accepted there to their guidance and counseling program back in 2005. So 2 years. Within 2 years, we were married. So life happens, goes on, you know, moved on from different retail place to retail place, you know. All that different stuff. Till it got to a point where I was in retail management for close to 10 years and I was tired. Tired of the politics, tired of being overlooked for promotions, tired of the BS and all that stuff. And kept hearing a voice saying, school counselor, school counselor, school counselor. And at that time, my youngest child was attended one of Progressive Christian Academy. That's one of was a private school in Macon, but they had to shut down their kindergarten division because of, I guess, funding or lack of staffing or whatnot. So my youngest, I had to stay home because at that time I left retail and it was time. So I had two opportunities to go to a counseling program, either Fort Valley State or Liberty University. I took Liberty University because it was better for my schedule and for my needs with my family. So I could be a stay-at-home dad at the time when my wife was working. And we made it work, of course. You know, that's what marriages do. You adapt and pivot. Same thing with counselors do. You pivot and adapt and change and adjust on all that stuff. And I might be overlooking the detail why I'm a school counselor. That's the how I became a school counselor, as far as me and my wife discussing it. And she made a sacrifice for me to reach this goal. And I'm doing the same for her. And I'm appreciative of all things that she has done for me in our marriage. And I'm hopeful that she's appreciative of the things I do for her and doing for her. That's what a marriage is. And I know she's probably gonna be listening to this, and I really do love my wife, and I hope she loves me back, as far as the way we try to look out for each other and build each other up and support each other in our goals and dreams and all that stuff. That still don't answer the question to why I'm a school counselor. I'm telling you the how, and the when, and the where, and the who. But I haven't said the why yet. Can't say that because that's what's on my mind right now as far as doing this. My dad was in the military, and we moved around a whole lot. Never had set amount of friends, except when I was back in Virginia. We lived in Virginia two different stints. Once was in the early 80s, and then again from 91 to 93 in between there, moved back to Cairo, then moved to California, and then to Virginia. If you listen to my podcast about my mom passing, you'll get some details on when we lived in California. One of the love living out there. It didn't rain, but I hated living out there because that's why I saw my dad beat my mom, but it's neither here or there. As a kid in the military, it didn't feel like it was par for the course for moving. You had a different school. I went to 3 different high schools in 3 years. And then stuck at Tri-Cities High School. My last really 2.5 years, because my dad didn't want to keep moving us back to California. When he retired, he's going to move. We were moving to Atlanta anyway. So that's why we settled on Atlanta, and I was at Tri-Cities. I wasn't a magnet student. I was zoned for Tri-City because it's down the street from my house. Literally, it's about less than, it's like driving distance, 5 minutes to get to Tri-City from my house where we lived at that time. I used to live in North Clark Avenue. North Clark Drive. Right behind the Winn-Dixie, which is now Wakefield's food. Knowing that students that are have to adjust to different circumstances and surroundings and environments, knowing students might not have the reason to see a counselor, they're scared to talk to their counselor, don't trust their counselor, or they don't know who their counselor is. Just the availability to come to see how I can help adjust and pivot students to their careers or their social emotional well-being is the reason why I'm a counselor. Being someone that really never met their counselor, I took care of my own college application for the most part. Might have got a copy of my schedule, requested a transcript, but nobody's never really pushed me in the area of, hey, you ever thought about this, or took time out to do that? This, of course, is in the 90s where they were considered guidance counselors. So they were reactive. Where now, as school counselor, we are proactive. We make sure we are ahead of the game. We are doing a lot of things as far as making sure we're proactive and make sure students are college career ready, social emotional aware, and academically successful. And that, to me, being in high school, being a kid that's different from everybody else, because a lot of these kids went to the feeder schools together. They grew up together, and I felt like an outsider. I had friends, now don't get me wrong. I had a lot of friends. Guys took me in, and we were cool. We lived around the same area, neighborhood, and everything. Matt Gresham, David Gibson, Kevin Witcher, Larry Ryder. Shout out to Larry. My thoughts and prayers with you and your family. Your dad passing. I'm going to reach out to you after I finish this. Just so many names. Donnie Anderson. Those guys, of course the band too, but those main guys right there made it easy for me to live in Atlanta my last couple years of high school. And it was a hard transition because my dad was gone again. I thought we just got him back for military, but he did 2 more years to close out. And I'm not gonna lie, I was lonely. Younger sister, she was trying to find herself and getting a lot of trouble. I know she won't mind saying this. She got a lot of trouble. And it was hard. Being in the band was my escape, and I was one of those kids that probably fell through the cracks because they did not, you know, didn't do check-ins with students, do advisement, or I didn't know what they did as a counselor. So my role is to make sure that I'm available for students to make sure that they don't fall through the cracks. Not just because I never saw my counselor, because they might have the same circumstance as me. And that's my role. That's my why. I don't want to see kids fall through the cracks, which is why we need to make sure we're available, you know, within the realm of our scope, realm and scope of our positions to be visible, not a forced visibility, because if we're in a forced visibility, we'll be seen as an administrator or a position of power, which we should not be in. But my why is to make sure that nobody falls through the cracks like I did. Find my why. Find my reason. Which is what anybody that's on this podcast is, to make sure this is your why, this is your reason you're going into this role. Make sure you're doing it for the kids, not because you're getting all the breaks off in the summers. Because that's the downside to that also too. Make sure this is your why, the students. If you were your own student right now, would you go see yourself as a counselor? That's a question you should be asking yourself right now. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast. I want to thank you for all that's listened to it. Thank you for all the support you have given. See you next time. We out.